This text from Isaiah 61, you might recognize, I rejoice heartily in the Lord. That's the, or you might not because we don't sing it much anymore. That's the entrance hymn for the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. This pure, pure heart praising God. One of the great masters of chant, Dom Gajar from Salem, when he was instructing us one day, said, this is what Mary sang in the womb of her mother at the first moment when she realized she was immaculately conceived. This is what she sang. So it's a hymn celebrating the work of God. All of Mary is a work of God. Then we have this marvelous text in Luke's Gospel. It's the last one in his account of the infancy. It's Passover, a big feast. And people are obliged to go to Jerusalem if they can. And so they go to Jerusalem to celebrate Pesach. And when it's all over, Joseph and Mary are going back with the group from Nazareth, going to walk back. It'll take 2.5 days to get back to Nazareth. And they don't notice that he's not with them. I just reflect on the humanity of the incarnation. This is God Almighty incarnate. And they presume he's with their relatives. They're not worried about him until they can't find him that night. And then we have this scene, which is anticipation of the resurrection. So they run back looking for him. They can't find him anywhere. Of course, our curiosity is piqued. What was he doing? I mean, they do close the temple. Where was he eating? Where was he, you know? Of course, in this part of the world, those are easier to solve. There's always somebody who will look after you and give you something to eat. And maybe they had distant relatives, who knows, among Zechariah's friends, Zachary's friends, you know. So they go back. And they find him in the temple. Now remember, he's 12 years old, which means what? He had just finished his bar mitzvah. This is the Son of God. At this moment, bar mitzvah means son of the commandment. Bar is ben mitzvah in Hebrew, bar in Aramaic. On this day, he becomes obliged to the whole law. Now, that's what it means to be a bar mitzvah, to be a son of the commandment. Now, he's obliged to the whole law. And maybe this is the first step. The next step, some 18 years later, is his baptism, when he fully accepts this renewal movement of his cousin and is baptized, you know, accepting this conversion rite. That's why John said, "My God, you don't need this." He said, "Let's do what the Lord wants. Let's do what my Father wants. Let us fulfill all justice." So, this is bar mitzvah. All the family is happy. You know, they've had a feast for him. And now he stays there. And his first act now, you see, as a Jew obliged to the law, is to discuss with the theologians the realities of his father. And they come and see him. And Luke is very careful to tell us, this is the reality of Joseph now. Your father and I, no, we know. Just turn back three pages. He was conceived virginally. I mean, he's Luke's figure. You're not going to get mixed up. But he's his father. He has affection for him. He has authority in his life. His father. Can you imagine how he felt? I have let down this Son of God. Remember, he knew at least, didn't know he was divine yet, maybe, but maybe he did. After all, remember, we're dealing with mystics. Joseph, finally, after a few millennia, is recognized to be the patron of the whole church. But whatever, they go back and he's thinking, I'm his father. Where is he? You know. Now Mary does the speaking. Now why were you looking for me? Did you not know that now that I am a bar mitzvah? Now that I am a son of the commandment, where else would I be? Except, and the text doesn't say my father's house. It says in the things of my father. Father's house, talking to these people. From now on, I am a man, and I must do my father's bidding and fulfill my vocation as a Jewish man, which is to die out of love for the whole human race. That's my vocation. And then to rise again and bathe the world in light. Why were you looking for me? They did not understand what he said to them, which is precious, isn't it? Remember, this is the feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the pure heart of Mary. Do you have any idea? I was thinking about it. I think I've mentioned before, somebody gave me, Ralph Martin gave it to me, this Life of Catherine of Siena written by her spiritual director, Raymond of Capua. And there's a point in there when she's been in ecstasy for several hours, and now she's out of ecstasy, and two priests, one of them, I forgot, friend anyway, said, would you like to come with us? We're going on a day's pilgrimage someplace. And she said, yes, and then she began to weep and said, I just lied. I don't want to go on that. I don't think I should. You know, and she wept. Now look at the delicacy of conscience, right? Instead of saying, well, you know, you sure, but you go on ahead, I'll catch up when I can or whatever, you know. Just, now imagine the heart of Mary. That delicate, everything that God wanted. Perplexed here. Because, as Pope John Paul II reminds us, she grew in faith. And this was faith. And so he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. Doesn't that know what you want? We're talking about God. This is God incarnate. What a perfect human being. And now, I think one of the main reasons why this text was chosen for today's liturgy, obedient to them, and his mother kept all these things in her heart. She pondered and pondered and pondered, and the Holy Spirit opened up for her. Don't you understand? You see, he has to, now that he's a man, he has to begin what his father wants him to do. And so she pondered that and shared it later on. I mean, they were there for those 9 days together in the upper room waiting for the Holy Spirit. She was encouraging them, helping them, getting them ready. She probably shared this story. Now the prayer said, may we have pure hearts. which means to be that sensitive to the Holy Spirit. A radical interior obedience to the Spirit of God. If we do that, then we do honor this feast day.